This is Adam Reuter for the Baltimore County Informer podcast. In January 2026, Mandy started firing up her home oven, handing out free rustic loaves to her neighbors just to see if the recipes held up. Then, a local Facebook group caught wind of it. One post went viral, and the Dundalk-Sparrows Point area found its new obsession. 5 months later, business is absolutely booming, the kitchen is a war zone, and Mandy is managing a massive surge in local demand, all as a part-time hustle. Today, we are sitting down, virtually, with the hands behind the flour to talk about the chaos of going viral, the grind of a home-scale operation, and how a winter side project turned into a runaway success story. So welcome to the show, Mandy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I don't normally introduce shows like this, but...
I know, that was really great. I appreciate that. That was really nice of you.
I think the timeline might be a little bit off. I think the samples came like 3 months later, but...
Yes, I think nice. They went out, of, I think, around March. I think you are correct.
Okay. So my first question for you is... Commercial bakeries are everywhere. As we know, the bread aisle, the bread room is just packed full of bread.
Oh, yeah.
Yet, your loaves cause an absolute frenzy. So what specific technique, without giving away business trade secrets, ingredient choices, or your fermentation process sets your bread apart from the standard commercial operations?
So commercial operations have a lot of additives and just different chemicals and things that you just don't even really know what you're eating. In terms of the bread that I make, it's all strictly sourdough. So it is a fermentation process of like building up good bacteria within the dough and then using that to create loaves of bread and scones or cookies or whatever it is. I mean, you can use sourdough in a lot of different for a lot of different treats and desserts and things of that nature. But yeah, I mean, I personally like to choose as many organic ingredients as I can, but within reason, because I also still want to keep my products budget friendly. So, you know, I stick to a lot. King Arthur is a really good brand of flour. I use organic King Arthur flour. I get eggs from a friend of mine who has, you know, cage-free, you know, chickens running around. So, I mean, I really do try to pick good quality stuff. To give to the public and to make my bread with. So
awesome. So good bread requires immense patience and precision when you make it. So how did you develop the recipes that eventually won over our neighborhood, or I should say all the neighborhoods, during the cold January months when we had all that snow?
Right, exactly. So, I picked up making sourdough, honestly, during Christmas, which sounds really weird because you would think that I've been baking for years and years and years. But I've always been a cook. But over the Christmas holiday, my kids were like, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? And I was like, you know what? Something about sourdough is really intriguing me. I really want to learn sourdough. So that's what I sent links to my kids of things that I wanted that were sourdough related. They all bought them for me. And that's kind of where it started. I started with a dehydrated starter as well as I made my own to start from scratch and up. And within 5 days I was baking and it's just been going from there. I mean, it was just something I wanted to learn. And I think with my ADHD, I think that it kind of checks all the boxes. I can hyper-focus, but it was also very meditating and therapeutic with just playing with the bread and just doing the things that, and steps and routines, which is something that I thrive on with having ADHD. So, I mean, it just... It's a conglomerate of things. You know, I love cooking. I like order. I like steps. I like things. And I get a final product. So it's like there is something to look forward to at the end, that there's a reward, you know. And then obviously I give it to the community and I love meeting people, seeing people, you know, learning their stories. And it's just been a really great full circle of things.
Very cool. So it's somewhat therapeutic to be making something.
Yeah, absolutely. My husband, like, he makes jokes. He's like, well, remember to do this, this. And I know when you get in your sourdough zone, you just zone out. So I'll just get, he's like, you get lost in your bread. I was like, I do. I'll just start going and just doing what I'm doing and getting into my routines, and I do get lost.
It's so funny. And let me ask you this, because I do sound engineering and video editing, and when I'm hyper-focused in the zone, I get irritated if somebody interrupts me.
Absolutely.
You get irritated.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm like, no, I'm trying to get this done. Like, or my husband will want to go to bed, like, because we're very early risers. He works kind of far, and I'm just used to getting up with him. So, like, we're generally up between 4:30 and 5 o'clock.
Oh, I'm sorry for keeping you late then.
No. And then we're in bed by, like, 9:30. So, like, some nights when I'm, you know, when I have things that I need to do, and he's like, babe, it's 9 o'clock. I'm like, go to bed. I'll be there when I'm done. Like, leave me alone. Like, I'm doing my thing. Let me go. Leave me, lady.
Yeah, so I had first heard about your company because there was a bag with bread and a note in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is this? And so I had a question. When you were giving them away,
yes,
in March, did you meet people?
I met like one or two people the nights that I was coming over to your neighborhood. I'd only met a handful of people, but for the most part, I think it was around dinner time. So I think people were in their homes eating dinner, doing whatever. But there was people that did see me, and there were several people that did reach out. I'm like, I got this loaf of bread. I'm like, yeah. So it was packaged. It was safe. It had a label. It had all the things. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this, but my background is in public relations and marketing. So I do know in terms of about marketing and public relations and how to kind of get my name out there and things of that nature. So,
mm-hmm.
And it was just simple. I think simplicity is, I think, speaks more volumes than, you know, all the bells and the whistles of things. So.
Yes. And I think I should mention, and people that have been following the Informer know that I had stomach problems for almost 6 years. And it wasn't until this year when I finally realized what was happening. It ended up being the tap water, you know, whether that's Baltimore County or I should say Baltimore City related, mm-hmm. or that's an issue with my own pipes. I don't know, but, you know, I understand how important it is for gut health.
Absolutely.
To be eating things that have less and less ingredients. And it's a shame that we have to pay, you know, a premium price for that, but it is what it is. And, you know, you can either complain about it or don't eat bread at all. So,
right.
But if you're a bread lover like I am, I wouldn't say I'm a bread lover, but I enjoy sandwiches. I'll put it that way. And bread is a part of sandwiches. It's a, you know, part of a side, you know, for a multi-course dinner.
Yeah, I mean, bread is multifaceted. I mean, you can use it as a dessert. You can use it as a breakfast. You can use it as a lunch or a snack or an appetizer. I mean, it just has a lot of, you know, different properties that you could, there are different elements or times where you can use it or enjoy it.
And just sitting here thinking about it, isn't it interesting that I'm not aware of any other bread maker in Dundalk, and we have something called Bread and Cheese Creek. You know, so now we have a bread maker. We need to have a cheese person too.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, cottage food business. So what I operate under is called the Cottage Food Laws of Maryland.
Yeah, well, explain that, because when you said that earlier to me before the interview started, I don't understand what that means by cottage food.
It just means that you are able to make foods from the privacy of your home. But that you have to stick to their rules and regulations, obviously, for safety and cleanliness practices and, you know, food allergens. I think I was explaining to you earlier, they're very specific about the labeling. You have to have ingredients and sub-ingredients and things of that nature. And there's certain things that you can't use, like you can only use certain cheeses, and you can't, you know, your items have to be shelf-sustainable. They can't be, need to be refrigerated. And there's a lot of different, I mean, they have a whole thing online where you can look at all the rules and regulations of what you have to follow, and they have several guidelines. But I mean, I think it's great that I can have a business out of my home. I can still be baking and providing for the community and not need to have a brick and mortar where I have a really huge overhead and all these things. I mean, obviously I still do carry insurance. I actually carry two different types of insurance, one that just covers the food itself, and then one that's just a general liability policy that covers my bread shed that I have created and I keep outside of my home.
Yes, let's talk about the bread shed,
because yes.
I've heard that term and I've seen some pictures on Facebook. By the way, what is your Facebook page?
My Facebook page is Bear Creek Breads.
And let's spell that out for people.
B-E-A-R, Bear Creek, C-R-E-E-K, and then Breads, B-R-E-A-D-S. And the reason why I named it Bear Creek Breads is because I actually live on the water. I live on Bear Creek. So, and I love it here. I've lived here for 6.5 years, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Awesome. So, and Now, you actually have people pick up orders, so I can kind of tell, like, you're by where the Seahorse Inn.
Yes, I'm right behind where the bait shop is. Yep, Seahorse is across the street. Bait shop is on my side of the street. There's a little U-shaped road over here. It's called Waterview, and I'm at 31 Waterview. And then, like I was saying with the bread shed.
But hold on, let me preface this by saying you are not like an open store. You have to call ahead of time and make orders, right, before you pick up?
I strongly encourage pre-orders. So with cottage food laws, you can have a porch pickup setup. But I do have three dogs that I love to death. So people coming in and out of my yard does not work for me, which is why I came up with the bread shed. And I made a shed that I put right outside of my gate, so it's still on my property. But during the weekdays, if people do pre-orders, again, I do strongly encourage pre-orders. People come and just pick it up for me, and they'll just text me, and I'll come and I'll bring it out to them. But on the weekends is when I utilize the bread shed, where I do have shelves within the bread shed where all pre-orders will be out there with people's names on their bags, and so they can prepay or pay when they come. It doesn't matter. I really go by an honor system, which some people think I'm crazy, but I've been doing it since January, and I literally have not had a single issue.
Yeah.
I think my customers and my clients are just really good people, and I have faith in humanity, and I do have a sign in my bread shed that says, listen, please don't steal from me. Please pay for the items that you take. If you're in need, just come knock on my door. I'm happy to help.
There you go.
And I haven't had any problems, so.
So this is like similar to Amazon lockers.
Pretty much. Come pick up your goods.
So, do you have a website or is it just Facebook?
I do not have a website.
Okay, so how do people find out like what kind of breads you make? And
so I post menus weekly, and I even put stickers on all of my products that do go out the door, that I do post a new menu every Friday. So I just tell people to keep an eye out on the webpage, and I pin it at the top of my Facebook page. So whenever you go onto my Facebook page, the first thing that you will see will be my menu for the week. With instructions on how you can order, which is basically you would just message me off of Facebook, or you can text me and say, hey, I'm trying to get it. I want to place an order. These are the things that I want. And I always ask people to include their cell phone number, because I will text people on the mornings when their orders are ready and say, hey, your items are ready. This is your total, blah, blah, blah. This is the system for picking up. If it's during the week, I give them the instructions on how to come to my house. If it's on the weekends, I just let them know that it's in the bread shed and they can pick up at their leisure.
Cool. And you, I'm assuming like, people pay through either like PayPal or Cash App or Zelle or something like that?
So right now I accept Cash, I accept Zelle, I accept Venmo, and what is it? Zelle, Cash App, and Venmo? Yes, and Cash. Sorry. Okay. Not PayPal yet.
Cool. On Facebook, search for Bear Creek Breads. That's three different words.
Yep.
I have a few more questions for you.
Sure.
So social media hype does burn out fast if a product fails to deliver.
Correct.
How did you handle that sudden wave of expectations from your neighbors? I mean, you said that you posted something, you expected five people would respond.
It was crazy, yes. The first time I ever posted on one of the local social media pages was right after the big storm that we had this year. And I was like, you know, because my neighbors are like, we all buy it. You should really try to sell it to the public. And I'm like, well, let me post something.
Oh, hold on. Go backwards. Sure. So I'm assuming like your immediate neighbors, the ones that you've been friends with for however long. You said you've been there for 6 years?
6.5 years. Yeah. They were started buying it from me.
Okay. So because what, they saw you baking outside or?
Well, first I would, when I first started learning, I was just making loaf after loaf after loaf after loaf. You know, you want to practice when you've become completely obsessed with something. So I was making so much bread. I'm like, there's no way we could eat it. So I just started giving it to my neighbors and they were like, oh, this is so good. Like I would totally pay you to make me like another loaf or whatever. So it just kind of became like that quick exchange from like me giving it to them to them wanting to pay for it. Cause they, you know, like, it's so good. Like, I feel like I should pay for it and I want more. And
yes,
I said, yeah, that's fine. So then they're like, you really should like try to sell to the public. I was like, I don't know. I was like, we'll see. So like the one day I was like, you know what, let me put together a little ad and see what happens. I posted something on, I think it was like the Only in Dundalk page or something. And it was like within an hour or two, there was like my one friend's messaging. He's like, Mandy, you have like over 200 comments. I was like, I know, it's crazy. Like, I did not expect that. I expected a little bit of interest, but like, this is wild to me. And it's still wild to me. Months later, I'm still like in awe of like how many people. I mean, last weekend alone, I had 18 pre-orders in addition to all the stuff, you know, that I make extra to put in the bread shed for cash and carries. I mean, it's just wild. And even my coworkers, like, they've obviously been with me because I do work full time during the day from the infancy of this to now. And they're like, how much did you make this weekend? What all did you do? Did you have any events? Did you this? Like, they're always checking in to like see where I'm at. They're like, you're not going to leave us, are you? I'm like, no, I'm not going anywhere.
Well, that brings me to my next question. So how do you structure your week to handle, you know, the ingredient sourcing, your proofing, baking cycles, without letting it swallow your work-life balance?
Right. So I have ADHD, but I am also super OCD, and I like order, and I like routines and organization. I mean, that's like the preface of my life, and it's been that way for a long time, because I used to actually have an errand service company, a concierge company, back when my kids were babies, but now they're grown. But no, I just plan out my week. So I know certain days I need to do certain things. And, you know, I do shop at the Restaurant Depot as well as regular stores. But for the most part, my flour and stuff all comes from there, because it's more, you know, pocket friendly for everyone's pocketbooks. But And then, so, you know, I get an idea of what my menu is going to be. And then I grab my ingredients over the weekends, because I do from Friday to, you know, I put the menus on the Friday, but it goes from Sunday to Sunday. So I kind of have like those weekend days that once I'm done selling my bread on Saturday and Sundays, I can run to the store and grab the things that I need to start the week for the items that I'm selling for that week, you know, the following week or whatever. And then I just structure my week based on what items I'm selling. You know, I'll do cookie dough on like Monday and Tuesday, because it's, you know, cookie dough you can freeze and it still tastes delicious even after you know bake it or whatever. So I'll make my cookie dough, and then come Wednesdays when I start really mixing up my bread dough, because then it has to proof for like a day or two, and then I bake everything off on Fridays, and I'll make my scone dough on Thursdays. You know, I just have like my set routines to kind of keep me in line, and then it's just packaging and printing labels, and I have a thermal printer, which makes it, you know, very, you know, quick, efficient, and things like that. So I try to find the most efficient ways to do it. And I mix all my dough at night, because it's literally, I don't know if my house is just the perfect temperature, but I have timed it out perfectly that if I mix everything after 6 o'clock, by the time I stretch and fold and I go to bed and I wake up at 4:30, you know, 4:35 o'clock, it's all perfectly proofed. So then I just add my inclusions and shape them and put them in my fridge for cold proofing, and then cook when I come home from work the next day while I'm mixing up more dough. So it's just like a whole like routine. it's a very good system. I have it down. Like it's
well, I've got to tell you, so I'm a multimedia person. So photography, video, sound engineer, like that's my thing. Plus I'm heavy into computers.
Sure.
There are so many so much vernacular, so much terms that jargon that you just said. I have no idea about half of what you just said.
Right, no,
but I appreciate the education.
The funny thing is, my husband has been around me, obviously been around since the start of this. Like, he started picking up terminology. So I'm like, sometimes I'll call him like, okay, I need you to feed my starter. He's like, all right, let's do this. Blah, blah, blah. Like, he's catching on to it too. So it's like, and he's worked a couple events with me too, and he's like, this is crazy, the amount of people.
Oh, that's right, because you've done like catering for breads?
Not catering, but I have done different events. So there's a lot of different vendor events in the area. So I've done like 3 of them so far.
Oh, okay.
And then I donate. I really do enjoy the fact that I have a product that I can donate. So I do donate to SH United Methodist Church. Once a month, it's the third Wednesday of every month. Tonight, I told you, I dropped off 5 loaves of bread. They serve it at their soup kitchen that they do on Wednesday. So once a month, I do donate to SH United Methodist Church. I also donate to the church that I attend, which is Epic Church. They do a welcome breakfast once a month. I usually donate a bunch of snacks to that. And most recently, as of last week, I donated a bunch of products to Battle Grove Elementary. They used it for their bake sale that they were selling to raise money for their 5th grade graduation ceremony. So,
oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the charity.
Yeah. You have to. There's got to be a balance.
Sorry, I was just salivating over the most recent menu. You have what's probably my favorite flavor, which is honey oat.
Yes.
I pretty much eat honey oat cereal every single day. So I'm looking through this. Oh, you got bagels now too.
Okay. I've had bagels since pretty much the early start, and those are actually.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just thought you were basically sourdough.
Everything I make is sourdough, so the bagels are sourdough. The bagels are sourdough. The bread is sourdough. The cookies are all sourdough. Everything, every product.
And these are big cookies, right? I mean, $6 for $10. They're giant. They're big cookies.
Yeah, they're
right?
big cookies.
Not the little.
No, they're not little
Chips Ahoy.
No, not at all. They're like the size of the palm of your hand, so they're good size.
What's the term people have been using? There's not deflation. It's basically where they raise the prices, but then they make it smaller.
Right, yeah.
I can't think of the word of that, but right. Okay, that's good. Hey, for all the different summer events happening, you have burger buns now.
Yeah, sourdough burger buns. Yep, and hot dog buns and...
Hoagie? Is that hoagie?
Well, hoagie rolls, yeah. Hoagie rolls or hot dog buns, whatever you want to say.
It says, well, I think it was misspelled. That's the beauty of small business. We have our typos.
Right?
I can't say anything because I literally went on my website today and it hasn't been updated in a year with the, like I still had 2025 on there.
Oh my goodness.
So.
I mean, I work on Canva on my phone sometimes. So sometimes I'm rushing at my, you know, my regular job trying to make these menus. I'm like.
But it is hoagie rolls, not hoagie rolls.
No, it is hoagie rolls, not hoagie rolls. Hoagie rolls. I figure since it's Memorial Weekend, people, I mean, even though the weather's not looking so great, people will be doing cookouts and things like that. So.
Yes, Memorial Day is coming up and the unofficial start of summer.
Correct. For us, I mean, we live on the water, so boat life is about to start for the summer. So, I mean, we take a lot of burgers and subs and things like that on our boat. So I figured I'd make sure that those were available because those are things that we eat when we go out on the water. We can quick and grab and go and just run.
All right, I have a question, though.
Yes.
Under the burger buns, it says everything. Next says has plain sesame and everything. What is everything?
Everything is everything seasoning sprinkled on top. It's very everything seasoning is so good. Like my favorite loaf outside, obviously those rolls, is that my husband and I love the everything. It's extra sharp white cheddar cheese shaved throughout the bread, and then you top it with everything seasoning. That's like our favorite loaf. So like a lot of times we'll make that for us. I'll make an extra one for us because we like to eat it with sandwiches, burgers, breakfast. You know, my husband will make avocado toast with it and. Whatever, that's like our favorite loaf. Everything.
And let me tell you, so back in March, I still had my gut issues. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was concerned about eating the bread. And then I think I actually posted something on my own Facebook group. I said, has anybody heard of Bear Creek Breads? Because they supposedly dropped the sample and I don't fully trust it. So somebody said, oh yeah, I've ordered from them before, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I took like a little bite at first, just in case it was poisoned.
It's not poison. I put a label and everything on there with all the ingredients.
It doesn't matter. It's just, I mean, it's a random, like.
I know. It is kind of random, but that's the good thing about it is that it's something different. It's unique. It caught your attention.
Yes.
Like, and that was the point of it. Like, I wanted to get my product out there and I also wanted.
And it worked.
Right. I want people to recognize me. You know, oh, hey, I did get something like
that. And so what I wanted to say is, back when I was having major stomach issues, I ate the bread. I ended up eating the whole thing. So I ate like a piece of it,
uh-huh,
waited an hour, and
I'm
ate
not
the
dead.
Rest.
I can eat the rest.
And it did not do anything bad to my stomach.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, anybody that says, well, oh, that's just, you know, marketing or whatever. It's like, no, like legitimately, if there was something that I would eat, it would definitely give me, you know,
your stomach would act right away. We had a previous conversation, obviously, to this, and I was telling you how I had stomach issues, and
acid reflux.
Right.
Everybody knows that, but GERD is a term that only people that actually have stomach issues would know about.
Sure.
GERD, mm-hmm. You know, so like take it from somebody who did have stomach problems, and I'm so glad I can put that in the past.
Right.
As long as I don't drink the tap water or ice.
Yeah.
Her bread is good.
Right. No, because like you said, I used to have stomach issues, and I could tell within the first 15 minutes of me eating something, I'm like, well, that my stomach's going to be jacked up. It would literally instantaneously happen. I'm like,
yep. Oh, French toasted bagels. Nice.
That's my most popular flavor.
Really?
Yes, it really is. I make that and everything bagels are my most popular flavors in terms of bagels. I think because a lot of people don't want raisins, which sounds weird because I love raisins, yeah. But I mean, they don't necessarily want them in their bagels, but French toast is a really good alternative. And then I just, during the end of finishing cooking the bagels, I swipe them with a little bit of fresh maple syrup. So they just have that like cinnamon vanilla insert.
Oh my goodness.
It's like you're eating a pancake.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just noticed something in it. Oh, you literally put your address on the post and you have three people asking you, where are you located?
I know. People do not read. God love them, but I know.
Well, I think it's because they see the menu. They see the menu, but they don't see the thing at the top.
Right.
So maybe in the future, put under Bear Creek Breads.
Put my address.
Yeah, or at least, I don't know.
Something. I agree. A lot of people do come back and ask, like, where are you located? Where are you located? And I'm like, yes, I am.
Oh, by the way, you spelled your own company wrong. That's another typo.
Oh, my gosh. Man, I was really struggling that day then, I guess.
It's okay. Hey, look, I don't care. You can spell everything
that
wrong
and that
you
fancy
want.
Cursive. If you pick fancy, you can't quite tell if you're doing
it. Well, it's you left the S off the bread.
Okay.
It's okay. I'm just teasing you. Look, at the end of the day, hey, McDonald's has perfect typography, but is their product that great?
No.
So. So, you know, and Lord knows
what they put in their food doesn't even rot. It's like so scary. But in terms of like, you know, in things of, you know, putting things in your bread, like so store-bought bread, I don't know if you're aware of this, but so if you see bread in the store and it says sourdough, it is not sourdough. They use vinegar and other chemicals to make it taste like sourdough, but it's not real sourdough.
Interesting.
Bread.
Well, that should be illegal for them to advertise.
It should be, but that's another story unto itself with how these food companies go and what they can get away with in terms of lying to the public and things like that.
All right, so let's get back to the business end of things.
Sure.
Because I don't want to keep you forever. Scaling a home-based or micro bakery requires serious efficiency, and you already addressed this with your ADHD.
Correct.
But what logistical bottlenecks do you run into? And what did you run into at first? And are there ones that you keep running into? Distracting husbands. Distracting dogs.
He just wants me to go to bed the same time he does. But sometimes I'm like, I still have stuff to do. yeah, my dogs do run around. But in terms of, it's just, I mean, sometimes, like I know there are some people that have micro bakeries that will do big bulk batches of dough. And I just, I've done it before. It works. It's fine. But I just prefer hand mixing each individual loaf. Like, that's just what I enjoy doing. So, I mean, I could be a little bit more efficient in that aspect. Initially, when I started, you know, it's a matter of figuring out the most efficient way. Obviously, cost was an issue initially because I wasn't shopping at Restaurant Depot. That has definitely helped offset my cost in terms of what I'm spending and what my profits are. Instead of paying $12 for a 10-pound bag of organic flour, I'm now paying only $27 for a 50-pound bag of organic flour. So, I mean, there's certain things that you kind of, I'm picking up and learning along the way, as well as I don't like to do big bulk batches. I can do them, and it probably would be a little bit more efficient, but I like the control of individually mixing each loaf. I think there's just more control in terms of my product and making sure it's consistent as opposed to trying to do a big batch and like keeping an eye on it and whatever and having something go wrong there.
Yes.
Storage was a problem initially because I was just buying all these extra pans and extra supplies and getting containers and the right utensils and like, you know, picking up more. I know you're not going to know some of these terminologies, but there's Bannetton baskets that when you do proof your loaves of bread, you put them in these Bannetton baskets. And instead of using linens, I use disposable liners. And there's just all these different tricks. Like instead of putting plastic wrap on each one of my bowls while they're proofing, I use shower caps, like reusable, like disposable shower caps. So there's just different things that like following people in the industry that you pick up more and more tricks. Instead of using Dutch ovens, I use the roasting pan method. So I can cook 6 loaves at a time in my oven. And actually recently, from all of my hard work, I just recently purchased myself a double oven. It's not hooked up yet, but it is here. It's in my house. And I'll be playing, and I'll be playing with it all weekend. I'm so excited.
That's so like me buying a new camera.
Yes. you just pick up things like I said, I like to watch other people in the industry online on social media and things like that and just learning a lot of new tricks. I did some online seminars with some people that have farm stands or micro bakeries. So I did pick up a lot of information and tricks from them. And I like to learn things. So I will literally soak up as much information as I can to try to be the best that I can.
Awesome. Well, you sound like me when it comes to sound engineering. So it's no wonder you have a good product. And I'm so glad you ended up, you know, that, you know, throwing the samples out there and the Facebook posts. And I'm very happy that a local business is doing as well as yours is. And, you know, even though it's a quote unquote side hustle, it's, you know, something that I think is needed with, I think I had mentioned earlier to you that I'm in the middle of finishing up an audiobook and / real book. So, you know, it's three different things. The written book, or I should say the physical book, the ebook, and the audiobook. And apparently audiobooks are like super popular these days. And in it, I talk about bread and just how, you know, it's because bread is unhealthy, but because of the amount of just stuff that is in most commercial breads.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to like knock every single one of them, because not every single commercial bread maker is bad. But, you know, when I found out now there's like somebody locally making bread, it didn't wreck my stomach. I'm like, wow, this is cool. So, I'll probably be over to get some hamburger buns at some point.
There you go. Bread Shed's open Saturdays and Sundays, unless I'm out of town, which I will post on my Facebook page if I'm not going to be around, but it's open on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 to 2.
That's the main thing, is check with you either directly or through Facebook.
Or through Facebook, yes. Correct.
Because you're not some, you know, app company or... I had a question. Do you use automation for when you like send out text messages and things like that?
I do not. I mean, obviously I copy and paste, but like I copy, but I text. I do everything by myself for myself. Like I just, I'm not really big, and it sounds really lame, but I'm not super big into technology. My husband laughs at me for it. Like I've recently just learned TikTok, and I've been making TikTok videos, and that's like a big deal. Like my kids are like, "Mom, really? You're doing TikTok?"
No.
I'm trying to do it. I'm like trying to teach myself.
Be careful. You might get 1,000 orders instead of 100.
Well, one of my videos went slightly viral. There was like 1,800 people who looked at it because I did some hashtags on it for, you know, micro bakeries. And it was a dumb little hack of like, I buy these little baskets. Instead of using Bannetons, I buy baskets from the Dollar Tree. They make square parchment papers for burgers at the Dollar Tree that I use. I put in the bottom, and then I put a disposable Banneton liner in it. And just people are like, that's such a great trick, and it's so cheap and efficient. I'm like, holy crap, I got 1,800 people watching this TikTok. I was just doing something fun.
Yeah, that's so funny. I guess overall, how has the backing of the Sparrows Point, Edgemere, Dundalk community fueled your personal momentum during these first 5 months of business?
I have been super blessed with this community. I know a lot of people like to dog on Dundalk and Essex, and I swear they are like the nicest people. I was telling my husband when I initially started, I did my first event by myself, but then he has since done the last two that I've done or whatever. And I told him, I was like, babe, like I have a little bit of a cult following, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but clearly it's a good thing. I mean, people are so loyal to me and they love my bread. They tell their people, they get their people to come, more people to come. They're sharing my stuff online. I mean, it's been great. It's been phenomenal, honestly. I'm truly humbled by it. And I guess I'm where I'm supposed to be. I love my community. And that's why I do a lot of donations too. My husband thinks I go a little crazy with donations, but I'm like, I don't care. I want to get back. And it is what it is.
Yeah, and you know the timing. I feel bad for Herman's going out of business, but I think the timing was perfect because they were probably already planning on going out of business this year.
Right.
So you know we now have a true local, you know, bakery. Now you're not baking cakes and things like that, but
no.
It's at least something, and it's keeping. This is what people need to understand. You're keeping money
in the community. Correct.
You're keeping money inside of Maryland, inside of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that to me is like important because, you know, whatever we give to a local business, then that gets traded instead of going out, you know.
Correct.
And like, I mean, people need to understand how important that is for an economy.
I agree. Support your local businesses, support your local people. And
yep. Last question. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have? And it doesn't have to be a baker or anything to do with making bread. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for another independent creator in the area who wants to step out of their comfort zone and share their craft, whatever that may be, with the public?
What would my advice be? One, you have to love what it is that you're doing. I feel like my day job, I love my day job, but I feel like my side business is what is fueling my soul. I really do enjoy it. I get more out of it than just baking bread and making money. It has to work with your life, and it just has to make sense. I feel like I try to follow trends and things like that to kind of make it move a little bit more smoothly. So, I mean, you just have to find your way. You have to find your way, figure out what you love, and really cross your T's and dot your I's with it. And I think that will just take you far and just have a good personality and outlook on it.
I think that sounds great. So is there anything else I may have missed, and any contact information just to wrap everything up?
Not that I can think of, other than, like I said, the bread shed. I just have to give props out to my husband. He is very good about taking my ideas and creating them, and then I make them pretty. So I appreciate all of his work on the bread shed. That the idea was mine, but he built it.
Hey, I had a working relationship with an ex-girlfriend the same way. It's like, you know, I had the foundation, and then she made it pretty.
Right, exactly.
And it worked great. So yes, shout out to your husband. Also for putting up with your whatever.
Oh, he does not complain, and neither does his coworkers, because whenever there's leftovers or extra, I send them to his job, and the guys love it. They're like, what are you bringing us this week?
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
So nothing ever goes to waste. I don't ever discount my product. I feel like it cheapens your brand, but I'm happy to give it away if I have extra.
Thank you so much, Mandy, from Bear Creek Breads, for joining me. And definitely, I wish you the best success with all your products, present and in the future.
Thank you so much for having me.